Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what is Claudia Tichman's most popular design? This week we're speaking with Claudia Tichman. She's a multifaceted artist and artisan who in the last two decades has concentrated primarily on jewelry making. She calls her work sculpture and jewelry, and her different collections illustrate the many different styles and materials that she utilizes in her work. Claudia has a singular collection of Jewish-themed jewelry, which is unique not only in Spain, but has gained international recognition as well. She regularly participates in crafts fairs in Spain and abroad, and if you're in Madrid, you can visit her from May 24th through June 19th at her stand at the fair in the Paseo de Recoletos every day from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. We've also included a link to her website on this page.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Claudia. Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you've studied?
Well, first of all, thank to you. I can tell you my story. I was born in Argentina. My grandparents were from Russia, Ukraine, Poland. They came to Argentina in the time of the SARS, and I was raised in Argentina.
So tell us about what you studied in Argentina and what you did there.
I began economics, then I didn't finish the degree, and then I studied literature, and then I decided art. I decided that I have to study art. I specialized in sculpture.
Did you actually work at that in Argentina?
Well, I made a lot of sculptures and participated in galleries, in contests, and I showed my work a lot in Buenos Aires. Especially in Buenos Aires. I got some prizes too in art, in sculpture, in drawing, not in painting.
So when did you come to Spain and why?
I suffered the dictatorship in Argentina, and then the political situation was wrong. The economic situation was terrible, the inflation. And when Menem got the presidency, I decided this was time to leave.
When was that?
It was 1989.
So when you got to Spain, how did you happen to begin to make jewelry?
Well, it was just by chance, I think, because I did many different things here. I prepared this stage for several plays. I made things for the Carnival in Tenerife. I participated in the decoration of stages. One day I thought of beginning with jewelry, and that's what I did. Because I observed that here ladies always wore jewelry much more than in Argentina. And it's a kind of sculpture, mini sculpture. So I thought it was going to be fun to do that, to do these pieces. Yes, and I had to earn my living. I had to work. That's why. And I thought this was a good way to work in what I had studied and develop something.
Did you actually study jewelry making in Spain?
No. At that time, there weren't any helping like we have now, in that you can see how to make things through the web. It was trying and making mistakes that that I got to make my jewelry. The help was that I used to make big pieces with iron, with marble, but I didn't learn the technique. The way of doing it was by myself, alone at home, trying and trying. And this is how I got it. It was very funny when I went to buy the thing for soldering, yes, for soldering silver, gold, and brass. I went to the supplier and said, well, how can I use it? And he said, you do that, and then it's okay. And I asked him, have you ever soldered yourself? And he said, no, I haven't. So I received theoretical ideas from someone who never did anything with this. So it was funny. But well, soldering and soldering, I finally learned.
Tell us about what kind of jewelry you make. Do you make earrings? Do you make necklaces? What do you make?
Yes, what I make is everything. I make necklaces, I make pendants, rings, earrings, stud earrings, drop and dangle earrings. I also made little boxes once for a collection, special collection, inspired in a collection of the Thyssen Museum. I made several small boxes in silver. I made spoons in silver, very funny spoons.
So can you tell us about the materials that you use?
Yes, I use silver, copper, brass, different gems, different woods, among them ebony, caoba,
mahogany,
copper. Long time ago, I used some Murano pearls. Well, I use everything that falls in my hands. That's it. Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit in a language that's easy for people to understand who don't know anything about how to make jewelry? Can you explain a little bit about the methods? How do you actually make a piece of jewelry once you have the idea?
Well, very good. I use different ways. One I like very much is wax modeling. First of all, it depends on what I want to do. Sometimes I copy textures with the wax. Then I add to the texture the shape I want. For instance, if I copy the texture of a leaf for making a ring, I get a little worm of wax and glued to it. And then I take it to the foundry. It is turned into a metal, for instance, silver, for instance, brass, for instance, bronze. This is one way.
So you make the model in wax. Is it a special kind of wax for jewelry?
There is a special kind that you can buy in shops dedicated to jewelry. But in general, I use them for carving. But for copying textures, I use a special kind of wax that I make myself. So I make it myself with natural products. And I get with this a very soft wax that helps to copy textures. And there is another wax that I buy in shops that are for especially for carving. That is another process. As if you were, for instance, if you are modeling a sculpture in clay, is completely different than when you carve it from a stone, from a marble, or from a wood. You know the difference. So these are the two different ways of working with waxes.
And so then you have this model and you take it to the foundry and they do what?
I take to a foundry because it's too much work for me nowadays to do the whole process. But well, what they do is to turn the wax into metal through a process that is, it's complicated to explain, but they pour a kind of ceramic material on the waxes, then they make the wax dissolve, and in the hole left by the wax, they pour the metal.
So in other words, what they do is they make a mold.
Yeah, well, kind of mold, yes. Uh-huh. It's a kind of mold.
I see.
But with a ceramic material.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Where do you sell your jewelry?
Well, I used to sell in museum shops, and I still do. I've been selling in Thyssen Museum for 25 years, a long time. And Reina Sofia Museum, Magba, the modern art museum in Barcelona, Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao, well, and a lot of museum shops. Now I'm selling in the Sephardi Museum in Toledo, because they sell my Jewish collection there.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
I also sell in fairs, and well, now I have a website. I sell also in different platforms nowadays. But at the beginning, it was only museums and some fairs sometimes.
And you've had clients all over the world, haven't you?
Yes. Yes. For instance, today I sent something to Reno, Nevada, and also to London today. It's very interesting to see that my pieces are around the world, yeah?
Can you tell us about some of your designs? Where does your inspiration come from?
Well, I don't know sometimes, but when working for museum shops, for instance, for Thyssen Museum, I used to make collections inspired by a certain painting. For instance, I made a collection inspired in André de Rennes, another collection in Delaunay, another collection in a German painter from German Expressionism. Most of the pieces were inspired in a certain work of art. For Reina Sofia, sometimes I made pieces inspired by their collection, but not so much. I used to design pieces inspired with various inspiration, perhaps, or perhaps not inspired by anything in special, but special ideas of mine. Also in, for instance, in Guggenheim, I made several pieces inspired by the building. That was very interesting. I think it's very interesting. I really love Gehry. Well, it depends. Sometimes I have to get the inspiration from works of art. Sometimes I am inspired by nature. For instance, I brought from Caribbean a sea fan, that is a kind of coral, and I made several pieces inspired by that. Or sometimes I make pieces that have to do with the special geometry. I made a piece once that had to do with Fibonacci. Fibonacci was a mathematician from the 13th century, and he was inspired by Arabs. All painters in the 13th century were based their work in the numbers made by Fibonacci, or golden function, it's in English. So I get inspiration in different things.
Have you found that any specific designs are particularly popular?
I never know what is going to be popular beforehand. I like very big pieces, but in general, people in Spain don't like very big pieces. They like small pieces. And well, one of my pieces that I began selling to the Jewish community began to be very popular. That is the Annie Ledodi Vedodi Li, that is very, very well sold in different countries and by different people, because they like very much the sentence, and they like the Hebrew writing, and is my best seller, I think.
Well, let's talk now about the Judaica. When did you begin to make designs that were based on Jewish themes?
Oh, well, many years ago, I believe that 20 years ago. But well, at the beginning, I only had this ring, I am my beloved and my beloved is mine.
Which is from the Song of Songs.
Yes, it's from the Song of Songs written by Solomon. I had this and some Star of David, but now I have many more. At the beginning, I had three or four things, but now I have many more because there is a huge interest for these kind of pieces, and not only by Jewish community, but many, many people like them very much, especially in one that I have made recently that says, you save one soul, you save the whole world. This is very recent. I made this very recently, and a lot of people liked it.
What are some of the other Jewish designs that you have?
Well, I don't have many, but I have some very interesting ones. For instance, the logo of the Sephardi Museum in Toledo consists of two peacocks, a menorah, a tree of life, a shofar. And this is the drawing that was found in a sink that was found recently. Seems to be that this sink was from the 4th century and was found in Tarragona. So this is one of the little Sephardic piece found. So I made several pieces with this drawing, rings, brass bracelet, and a pendant. There are many people who like it very much because it's very special. It's a very special Sephardic piece.
Do you know if your customers are mostly Jewish?
For these, there are many Sephardic around the world that are eager to see something Sephardic because it's not so common to see a Sephardic image. Many Jewish, yes, like it, but also non-Jewish people like it because it's a very nice drawing indeed. That's why it's a logo of the museum, yes.
When you've sold your pieces at fairs, have you run into any difficulty from any of the people because you have Jewish themed objects? I mean, has anybody said anything to you? Like, have you run into any anti-Semitism?
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that. Perhaps they are anti-Semitic and they don't tell me that. I don't know. But what I find in Spain is little knowledge about the Jewish, because here there are not many. Things that, for instance, in Argentina were very normal, here they are different because people, very little people are in touch with Jewish. And so they don't know anything about the foods, the thoughts, or the problem is that they don't know anything. And this has to be changed, of course.
Are you working now on anything new, any new designs? Are you planning to create more Judaica designs?
Well, the last one I made was this Save a Soul, Save the Whole World. Recently, I don't release many, many pieces at a time. I will wait a little till I release more pieces. Not only Jewish, I made one or two collections a year, and that's it, because I have so many pieces, so many designs that are completely timeless, that I continue selling pieces that I've made 20 or 25 years ago. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't produce so many. I produce two collections because I have like 400 pieces and so many, really so many, that I try to produce not many, but special ones. This is my aim, really.
I know you also give classes. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Oh, yes. I have pupils at home in my workshop. The classes are very small, no more than three people. And I begin teaching, first of all, I make them learn how to copy textures because I think that copying textures open their minds a lot. There are so many things that can be done with copying textures, and it's a completely endless activity because there are so many things that are around us and we don't realize how nice they are to make something, to make pieces, to make anything. So this is my first step, copying textures in wax. Then second step is carving waxes, carving hard waxes. Then we send it to the foundry, we turn them into metal and work on them. But the time they are in the foundry, I make them work in metal directly. So I teach them how to solder, how to cut metal, how to make shapes directly with metals. And this is, in short, what we do. With this, we can do anything. There's no limits with these three things. After these three things, there are no limits, of course.
Okay, is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, that I'm going to be in a fair May the 24th in Paseo Recoletos. I would love you come to visit.
Till June 19th, you said.
Yes, till June 19th.
Okay, because the fair that's in Recoleta, it's a fair of real artisans. It's not just a fair of anybody who's selling jewelry the way they do in the Rastro.
No. This fair is all of us, we are workers, we are handcraft people. All of us make the pieces ourselves. So, no, it's not the Rastro. In the Rastro, you can buy a lot of things brought from India, from Thailand, from I don't know. But here, all of us make our pieces ourselves, special pieces, because there is a lot of work on them, and there are no hands in between. There are no retailers. We sell our own production.
Okay, well, we'll include all that information as well as a link to your webpage and your contact in case any of our listeners would like to get in touch with you.
I hope that my description of the processes were quite clear. It's very difficult to explain such a big process in short words.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Linda.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner at radiosephora.com. See you next week.